few moments, would you quiet our hearts? Would you allow us to listen and hear, maybe for the very first time, what it is to be a man in this culture, what it is to know what biblical manliness looks like? And you know all of the images that we hear about every single day. You know all of the things that we're told in news and media and online and through television and movies. And Lord, at this point in time, it seems as we, at least that we are at a low ebb. So Lord, for the next few minutes, may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. And may all the men and young men and boys that are here today be encouraged to know who they are and how you've designed them. And that they're not broken or incomplete or not good. Lord, would you allow them to walk out of here realizing that they have your affirmation on their hearts and minds and souls and bodies. So would you just speak to us today? Would you strengthen us today? And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. I did want to welcome the kids once again. This is our third week. You guys have been doing amazing, being still and listening. And again, if you'll look in your bulletin, you'll see there are some resources there. You can draw the sermon if you want, or maybe you could draw a picture of your dad as being the hero that he truly is. And as Joyce and I were talking about this message, she asked what I was actually going to be talking about, and I just sort of gave her an idea, and she said, so you're actually going to preach a Father's Day sermon, because that's not one of the things I usually do. In fact, I've never done anything like this before, partially because I've never seen an issue for it, and maybe it's because I've always sort of assumed and believed that people realize that manhood and biblical manhood was a good thing. And yet, as I watch TV, one of the things I would challenge you to do, think of the last 10, 15, 25 years. If you can come up with one television show or a movie that shows a man in a positive way as a father or a husband or just simply as a person. I mean, I was amazed as I went through the list, and I literally couldn't come up with one. I could think about 30 and 40 years ago, you know, The Little House on the Prairie or The Waltons, that type of thing. But almost nothing in our culture has anything positive to say about men. When you listen to the news, when you notice the culture, even this last week or a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Christian radio, and to be honest with you, I was dumbfounded and honestly alarmed in the way that manhood and men were being belittled and made fun of and really dishonored in unusual ways. And even on the Christian radio station, they were trying to encourage men to be better husbands. And one of the comments, and to be honest with you, I didn't listen to the whole thing because I got sort of ticked off and just shut it off completely. But they were talking about husbands asking their wives how they could help them out and how they wanted things done. And it seemed to me that that doesn't seem like a bad thing, does it? And yet on this radio, they were complaining. The wives were calling in and saying things like this. He shouldn't have to ask me what I need. He should just know. You don't know what you don't know. And just think, if a guy is asking you, it's not because he has an idea. It's because he wants to know how to help you at that circumstance and in that situation. And yet even on this Christian radio station, they were saying how awful it was. And so it hit me, we are really moving to a place where we truly believe that men and women are the same, and we truly believe and have this idea that if men could just disappear, the world would be better off. I thought that was an amen there. It was just someone talking. I was going. So I'm hoping today to maybe restore a biblical view of reason and truth. And let me just say here in the midst of all of this, I'm going to be saying some general statements, but biblical statements in the midst of it. And the scripture says, if you have your Bibles with you, if you want to go back to the very beginning of Mission 119, this is what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And we'll look through a couple of different verses today, but it says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The next verse there is, and God bless them. It's an amazing passage of scripture. Two distinct beings, wonderfully complex and designed to work together in distinct form or fashion. Equal in value, yet different. It's a message we need to hear. Just realizing this and remembering this would help in almost every relationship we have as husband and wife or co-workers or whatever the case may be. Scripture says we're made male and female. We're created differently for one another, and it's a good thing. And as I was thinking about that, I ran across Psalm 144:1. Again, not one of the ones that you've ever heard me start off with, because it's an amazing psalm, but David is talking to the Lord, and he's King David. He's sort of the warrior poet, and I truly believe an example of what we should think about and figure out. But it says this: "Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." I don't know about you, but I haven't heard a whole lot of manliness in a lot of our services like that. But notice, if you'll go through the whole psalm, King David expresses some amazingly powerful titles and descriptive terms for God. He says, "He's my rock, and he's my fortress, and he's my stronghold, and he's my shield." One of the things that struck me is that this is not the mild and meek Jesus that we often sort of lift up and say that's what men are like. All of these phrases are strong and masculine phrases. They're the words of a warrior. And it seems to me that David revels in who he is and how God has designed him to be a man. Imagine coming before the Lord and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for you have made my fingers and hands ready for war and battle." And I think in every man here today and every young boy here today, that's part of our DNA. That's just the way that we were designed. And let's go a little bit farther back. Have you ever noticed that Adam was made in the wilderness? Go back to the very beginning of Genesis. It says he was made in the wilderness, and it was after Eve was designed and made and brought to him. They were in the garden. Just a really interesting view of how God designed man. Men are altogether different from women. At a young age, it's noticeable unless social engineering kicks in. And if you've raised boys, we were talking last week about Elena and how when she gets mad and she has this little fit, we're learning the difference between a boy and a girl is when a boy has a fit, he just flops on the ground and you hear the head his head smash on the pavement, and you know he screams and shouts, and Elena literally just, it's like she faints. It's like she's a mover actress. She just slowly gets down, slowly puts her head there. I mean, it's just... This last week it was amazing because she got mad at me because I said no, and she went like this. Just to see. I never had to worry about that with boys. Boys are different. They're made for adventure and noise and action and wrestling and wiggling, and everything's a challenge and there's danger every single day. Little boys are the ones that you give them graham crackers at a certain age and you can leave for 5 minutes and come back and they will be shooting each other with them because they've gnawed them into little guns. It's amazing how that works. We never taught our kids that. With little boys, every stick that they see becomes a sword or a spear. And it was funny, in the first service, one of the kids had a pencil out and he was jabbing his cousin in the butt. And it was just... It's just sort of the way boys are designed. It's always about capes and battles and storming the castle and rescuing the beauty. I can remember Joyce, she looked out the door when our kids were little, and Jed and his neighbor friend John the kid was lying in the street, and Jed had made a ramp. And it's one thing if you're going to jump a kid like this way, but he had the kid spread out that way. And sure enough, he just takes off, and he didn't mush him, and we were really happy for that, but Joyce was like, no. And then we thought only two boys would come up with that. It's because it was there was danger there. Imagine showing up Monday with treadmark on your face. It would have been so cool. Little boys are competitive. I always think it's really funny that we've gotten to a day and age, even in T-ball, because we don't keep track of the runs. You talk to a little boy about those games, he can tell you who won that game. I mean, that's just the way it works, and it's normal, and it's a good thing. As men, we're called to be warriors, poets, and priests, providers and protectors, fixers, loyal, sacrificial. We're literally have been designed to hit the beach. One of the amazing figures I got this last week is we had the anniversary of D-Day, and one of the privileges I had as a little kid, it was D-Day guys that were the guys that ran the children's program in my church growing up, and I can remember talking to one of the guys that went through it, and I said, "What was it like?" He says, "It was amazing. There were planes everywhere and shooting," and it was before we even asked how you felt about it, because there's no feeling there. Do you realize the first wave that hit the beaches at D-Day, 90% of them were killed from the get-go. Men were designed to challenge and charge the beach. What's amazing is nowadays, with that type of loss, I think they'd probably cancel the whole thing. But the waves kept coming. And I have talked to some of those vets, and what's most amazing to me is when you talk to them, they say things like this: it just had to be done. That was our job. They told us to do it. It was just sort of the DNA of what men do. Culture every day tells us that being a man in masculine is wrong, and it's toxic, and it's broken, and the goal seems to be is to make us sensitive and safe and manageable. And even Christianity has bought into that idea that being a good Christian man means you're good and you're dutiful and you're passive and you're tame. But none of those point to the true picture of biblical manhood. I mean, Scripture tells us over and over, we have stories. I don't think we talk about it. We don't talk about King David. We don't talk about his 30 men, his mighty men. We don't look at Jesus and say he was an amazing hero that took on the social structure of the day, stood before the most powerful people, and stood fast in his beliefs and sacrificed himself that we might have life. That's all about being a hero. Do you ever read the stories of one of David's mighty men? It was a rainy, snowy day, and a lion went into the pit, and this guy just jumped down right into it. It was something to do. When David was in the midst of the battle, and he said, just in passing, "I wish I could drink from the wells of Jerusalem." And three or four of his guys just took off, went through the battle lines, got into the city. You can't even imagine it. And got the water from the well and trucked through the enemy again and came back and said, "Here you go, bud." It's an amazing scene. David says, "I can't drink this. I'll use it as a sacrifice." But culture tells us the very opposite. And yet I believe Scripture continually says that men are called to stand in the gap and protect the home front and provide for the family and be the strong leader that God has designed us to be. And I think there's a number of things we're going to talk about today that men are good at and designed for. And that first idea is that we are called to be providers and protectors. That we are the ones who in our hearts and in our DNA, we work for the good of the family. And work is a good thing. And has very little to do with family. It just seems as if God has designed us to be purposeful in that area. We're called to be the protector. Most men, literally, I've talked to, would take a bullet for their wives without thinking twice about it. They would stand in the gap if they had the opportunity or the choice. And one of the things that we've been sort of grappling with as a church is what do we do with church security and how does that look like? And for a lot of churches, they're hiring police. And I know we live in Western PA, so some of you are concealed carry. And we're not even worrying about those things at this point, but I just want to give you a heads up. Heaven forbid if anyone came through those back doors, and I've actually talked to three security consultants about what would be the proper thing to do. This is church training 101. If someone comes through those doors bent on harm and hurt, this would be the thing I would ask you to do. If you're a woman or a child, you either get low, you go out that door, or you go out that door, and you go around the back of the ALC building and be in that field. That's where your kids will be in the midst of emergency. But you know what our role as men is? Everybody I've talked said, the only way you're going to deal with this is that a group of men are going to have to get up and charge the person and bring them to the ground and hold them there. So, men, our role is to stand up and form the wall and protect and serve. And that is going to be one of the things that the security people I've talked to have said is that some of your people are going to hurt and they're going to die. It's an amazing thing. I mean, just so you think that maybe not be a reality in Greenville, the police time would be 4 to 7 minutes. A stadium would probably be here within 10 to 25 minutes. In your average church shooting, it's over in 3 minutes. So, men, that's your role if that ever comes to this church. And as I told the first service, if you get killed there, you're going to have a really good funeral. We're going to let you, I mean, you're going to be a hero. And see, every man there, we're tongue-in-cheek, but we're going, "I could go for that." Men are good at discipline and duty. If a man knows how to do things, he will most often do it. And we're made with that ability to make a choice and accomplish that task. And one of the things that they tell you over and over again is that love is a decision. Do you realize that one of the things that men can do well is make that decision? Not based out of a feeling, but simply because it's the right thing to do. We're good at those types of things. Men have the gift of fixing things, and it's not necessarily physical things or cars or any of those things, though a lot of you have that ability, but most men that I know of have the ability to figure out solutions as they're hearing about them. And one of the things that strikes me is that men would much rather fix things than talk about them. It's just the way it works. Men don't often worry and have a lot of feelings. It's what's practical and it's what works. And honestly, it's what I found drives women nuts. Because honestly, you come home and you want to talk to your husband about something, and you're talking about your relationships and how's it going at work and all of those types of things, and he's looking at you, and he could tell you exactly what to do. In fact, he's done it before. This is what you need to do. Quit that job. Tell that person to walk away. Deal with it the way you need to deal with it. And what happens? You get angry and you get upset. You're mad. Because you're talking. You're not looking for a solution, are you? You're just sharing your heart. You're just, this is how the relationship works, and I'm concerned about that person, and I notice this person. And again, these are generalities. You realize you need to look at your husband or the guy you're talking to and say, I don't want you to fix this. That gives our permission to go to the nothing, our minds to go to the nothing place. Because if you don't say that, we will sit there and try to figure out, what do you want done in this area? Seriously. Tell him, I don't want you to solve this. I just want you to listen. If I need a solution, I'll ask you, because we will have the solution and it won't take us 45 minutes to get there. I mean, have you ever noticed when a guy, a family friend has a baby. If the man calls up, if I call up, how you doing? You had a baby. Is she healthy? Is the baby healthy? Is the mother healthy? Is everything okay? Yep, okay, thanks a lot, click, Joyce. What about the baby? It's a baby. The baby's fine, the mother's fine. Well, what color are the eyes? Have no clue. How big is it? Oh, about that big, I don't know. That's the way men process. It's not wrong, it's just different. I mean, man, men long to be good lovers and friends, and they want their spouses to be happy. But you need to tell them what you need. I just some sort of personal stuff that you could put into practice this week. If you're married, you want to see a difference in your husband, say things like, I would love it if, and then fill in the, I would love it someday if we go to the shopping mall and you would hold my hand. And some of you are thinking, well, he should know to hold your hand. Nuh-uh. When a guy goes into a shopping mall, he's there to get and conquer whatever they're looking for. If it's a shirt, let's go get it. It's a hunting trip with cash and cards. But if you say, I would love if you would hold my hand, or I would really love if you would fill in the blank, almost every husband here I know would say, okay, I can do that. Do you realize that men are far more into respect than they are being loved? And I think this is probably one of the bigger things in marriage, is why it gets so frustrating for both people. Women long to be loved, men long to be respected. You ask any man here if he could choose to have his wife and spouse and kids and coworkers either love him or respect him, almost every single guy here would say, I'd rather be respected. In fact, one of the amazing things, you know that song by Aretha Franklin? And I'm going to spell it because I can't spell. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Do you realize that was actually written for men? It was actually Roy Orbison who was going to sing it, but he sold it off because he needed some cash to Aretha. From now on, every time you hear that song, it is almost a perfect image of what men long for. And those are some of the different traits between a man and a woman. And yet so often in our culture, we are told daily that there isn't a difference. We're the same. If we could just become more like women, it would all work out better. And the truth of the matter, when it becomes a place like that, then there is chaos and upsetness and confusion. And honestly, men just sort of withdraw from the fray, which is one of the weaknesses that men have sometimes. They're different traits. But let me challenge you with the last scripture I want to share with you today, 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Paul is talking to that early church full of men, and he says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like a man, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love." Act like a man. So just men, you need to know a couple of these truths this morning. You need to understand and recognize that God approves of manhood and maleness. And I'm not sure we've ever said that before within the body of Christ. But you need to walk out of here today. If you get nothing out of this, you need to be able to say, you know what? God made me, He designed me, He's approved me. He invented you. Do men need to grow up sometimes? Certainly. Are men perfect? Of course not. Are men designed wrong? No. Are men broken? No. Are they supposed to be different from women? Yes. Do we need to submit ourselves before God? Certainly. So men, be encouraged. Don't settle for what our culture says. Be who God made you to be. Realize that there are differences and live with them and live in them. They're not bad. They're simply different. And men, love your wives. Men, remember who and how you were designed. I would challenge you to don't ignore the battle that's going on around you. Every time you see a TV show that belittle or says that men are stupid or idiots or failures or not trustworthy or goofy, which is almost every TV show nowadays, don't ignore that battle. As your kids are exposed to that type of stuff, say, do you realize how dishonoring that is? Do you realize how disrespectful that is? Do you realize that that's not what a loving husband does? Don't accept the culture's assessment or title that you're toxic or broken simply because you're a man. That isn't what the scripture says there. And ladies, if you want to experience the best that your man has to offer, realize he isn't like you. And for some of you, you've recognized that for a long time. But he longs for your respect more than he does your love. And that's oftentimes when the cycle begins. If you've ever read a great book called Love and Respect, I would challenge all of us to read that. But it talks about how women long to be loved, and they're wanting their husbands to love them. And you say things like, well, I'm not going to respect him till he loves me. And the husband says, wait a minute, I'm not going to love her till I get respect. And we all have been on that crazy cycle, haven't we? So I have a couple minutes left. How do you respect a man in today's culture? And this is what the chair is out there for. And every time you see a chair this week, I want you to remember these letters together. C-H, I'm going to read it off again. C-H-A-I-R-S. These are not my ideas, but they're really, really good. Conquest. Men, that's part of respecting a man. Recognize and affirm when he is going to work and he is longing for achievement. See, we've gotten to the place in day and age now where no one actually affirms anybody when they go to work and put in those hours over and over again. Begin to affirm that's a good thing, and achievement is a good thing. H is for hierarchy. Appreciate his desire to protect and provide for you on an ongoing basis. Most men, that's a natural instinct that we long to do. If you talk to Joyce, anytime we go in a restaurant, if you were to ask her, and I did it in the first service, I'm not sure where she is now because she gets upset where I don't know where she is all the time, but she simply said, anytime Nathan goes into a restaurant, he has to see where the doors and the windows are, and he wants to always sit where he can see what's going on, because if anything happens, That's just the way that God has designed us, and oftentimes we lose sight of that. Appreciate his desire to protect and provide for you. Authority. Appreciate his desire to serve and lead. And so often women aren't available to allow that to happen, but simply try this week to allow him to lead. And again, if you want to just use a phrase that makes sense to most men, and it's such a simple thing, oftentimes if it's, we're told, take out the garbage. I mean, we've all heard that, haven't we? You want to see a man be able to do it more easily? Take out the garbage for me. See, because a man always wants a mission and a purpose, and if he can do something to help his spouse or his kids, more often than not, he'll respond to that. Taking out the garbage isn't as fun, but when we know it's serving our wives or our kids, it takes on a different avenue. Insight. Appreciate his desire to analyze that he is good at problem solving. In fact, I believe problem solving is probably the male brand of empathy. Man may not know how to feel how you're feeling, but if he sees that he can help you or take the burden off of you or fix that circumstance, that's as good as him saying, man, I feel for you. That's why when a man comes home from work and you ask him how does he feel about his day, he goes, it was fine. Because feelings hasn't entered into the picture at all. So appreciate and approve of that insight. Relationship, every man desires a shoulder-to-shoulder relationship with his wife and with his kids. He may not know how that looks, but he just desires to be in the midst of that. One of the things, and it's really, really sounds funny, you want to and press a guy in your marriage, if he's out in the shop working on something, or he's taking care of the car, or he's whatever he's doing, just come along and say, hey, can I just sit here and watch? Believe it or not, that's building unity within your relationship. You don't even have to talk. It's just your presence will make that difference, because then he's understanding that you're with him shoulder to shoulder. The last letter to keep in mind is his sexuality. It's appropriate and a good thing that he has desire for sexual intimacy. Because one of the things that they're finding out, even in the secular realm, scientists are beginning to figure out that when a man is intimate with his wife, it literally, a chemical is released within his brain to bring bonding and connection to you with him. Isn't that amazing how that works out? So men, I hope you're encouraged today that you are designed by God on purpose. I thought I'd get at least one amen out of that. There we go. But do you realize that manhood is good? I guess that's what I wanted to say. And the scripture designed the male and female on purpose, and they key together. But they're different from one another. If you want some great resources, a great book by James McDonald, and just to let you know, men should be readers also. May take a little bit longer, but it should be a part of our lives to grow. Act Like Men is the name of the book. It's a really good one. If you're looking for marriage and help, Love and Respect, probably one of the best books and information I've seen in the last 25 years come out. It makes complete sense, and as you read through it, you have so many aha moments. Another great book for men and also for women, if you want to see what goes on in a man's heart, Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. And then lastly, the scripture. Look at the scripture, how often we are told stories of men and women following after God in the midst of difficult situations. And realize that Christ was masculine and male in a lot of amazing and powerful ways. So I guess that's the message today. I want to encourage the men to be men. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we've gone through these passages quickly, and Lord, I just simply ask that you would allow the men and the boys here to leave knowing that they have been designed on purpose and well. And that when we were designed and brought into creation, both the man and the woman, it says that God said that they were good and he blessed them. And we live in a culture that continually tells us the very opposite. Father, I ask for the men and the boys in this congregation that you would lift them up today and that you would encourage them. And Lord, as we see our kids challenging and pushing and shoving and wrestling and doing all the things that little boys do, before we put an end to it, may we recognize and know that that's who they are and that's how they grow up. And Lord, I thank you for the difference between men and women. You did well and designed well, and we acknowledge that today. Would you fill us with your hope and encouragement this day? In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you join us in our last song, Jesus, All for Jesus, and offer yourselves to him today in response to the word.